Our Father, we thank thee for the love of God. That love that is expressed in the gift of thy Son. We thank thee that he came into the world to die for sinners. We thank thee that that blood was shed, that cleansed from all sin. We praise thee tonight for everyone that is washed in the blood of the Lamb. We pray, Lord, if there be any in our meeting that know not the saving grace of Christ, we pray that even tonight there will be real conversions through thyself, and that God will be glorified in this very meeting. So we commit it to thee with all its needs, and we ask thy blessing now upon us and upon every gathering where Christ is preached. May thy blessing be upon the gospel of Christ. We ask it now, committing us to thee, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we turn this evening to Luke chapter 15? Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. We read at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99? In the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he finds it. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now further down in our chapter, we read in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And then we read the verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his own precious word. I don't suppose that in all our Bible there is such an unfolding of the heart of God, except for the cross of course, as in Luke chapter 15. Because here we see the unfolding of the very heart of God. There is no doubt that the Lord Jesus is linked to the picture of the lost sheep, that sheep that had gone astray. And the Spirit of God in the church is seen under the symbol of a woman that is searching diligently for a coin that was lost. And then, of course, the Father is linked to the story of the prodigal son. And that means that the very heart of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is unveiled before us in this narrative of these pictures of lost things. And in that sheet, we see the picture of distance. Distance between a soul and God. In that coin, we see darkness. Darkness that envelops a soul that drifts away from God. And in that sun, it is a picture of degradation. A son, or at least a prodigal, that is living away and in a far country, a life of degradation. And as we look at this narrative, we see a sheep that was lost to safety. We see a coin that was lost to usefulness. And we see a son that was lost to fellowship. Everything is lost in our chapter. And it is a picture of our world. A world of lost sinners. A world where all men are lost. Lost by their own stupidity, as we see in the sheep. Lost by their own stubbornness, as we see in the son. So that everything is lost in our chapter, and it is a picture of a lost world. And you know, one of the greatest battles that the Spirit of God has to combat in the search for a soul is simply to convince men and women that they are lost. When we discover that we are lost, then it's not very hard then to look outside ourselves for a Savior. And so we may sum up the contents of our chapter in three words. The first is seeking, and it is God that is seeking. The second is searching, and it is God that is searching for the lost. And the third is singing, because there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. You see, dear friend, God is seeking and God is searching. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation through at highest cost, he offers free to all. It is our Savior that goes after the lost sheep. And we often sing, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. But he went to the cross. He died for us, died for you and me, that we might be found and placed upon the shoulder of the shepherd himself, and brought back to the Father, a sheep that was lost, brought home by the Savior who died for you and died for me upon the cross. But I want you to know that not only was there a sheep lost, a sheep that was lost to safety, a sheep that was wayward and straying away from the fold. But there was a coin that was lost. Did you know, dear friend, that coin, like every child of Adam, was lost by a fall. It was lost by a fall. That's how you and I are lost. We are lost because of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. And as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Deny the fact of death, and you can deny the fact of the fall. But because all men die, it's the proof that all men are lost in Adam. That coin was not only lost by a fall, it was lost in the dark. There was a candle lit that there might be light to find that which was lost. And God has lighted a light for the children of men. It's the light of the Word of God. And the Spirit of God, through the Word, is searching for that which is lost. And that coin, dear friend, was lost not only in the dark. That coin was lost in the dirt of that home, covered with dust itself. And that's why there was a sweeping in order that it might be found. And the Spirit of God does the sweeping, brings into the soul a conviction of sin until the very dust of sin comes to our attention. And we realize that we're lost. Absolutely lost. And that coin was lost in the house. And there's many a soul, dear friend, that's lost, enveloped in religion, lost in spite of the fact that they are religious. But that coin was sought for. Why was it sought for? Because of its value. Every beast dies to rise no more. But every human being dies to rise again. And it will either be in the resurrection of the just or the resurrection of the unjust. But there will be a resurrection of the dead. And that is why there is a value that's put upon every one of us. And so great is that value that it took the blood of Christ to redeem us. And it takes the patience of Christ to win us. That coin was sought for not only because it was valuable, but that coin, dear friend, was sought because there was a price paid that it might be found. And the price has been paid, paid for you and for me at the cross. And our Savior died that we might be found and put into circulation for God. That coin, dear friend, was found, and then it was lifted, and it was put into usefulness again. And God is searching for everyone that is without a Savior. And he wants to lift the soul from the very gutter of sin. And he wants to put that soul into circulation for himself, to give a testimony to the world what God can do with a soul that is lost. But I want you to note that there was a boy that was lost. And he was lost to fellowship. Lost to fellowship. But there was a search for him. The eye of God was upon that prodigal. And God was waiting for the prodigal to return. I wonder how long he has waited for you. Many summers you have wasted, ripened harvest you have seen, winter snows by spring have melted, and yet you linger in your sin. How long has God waited for you? Let us think of the history of this boy. Four things mark his departure. The first was a greedy eye. He cried, "Give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me." Let me say, dear friend, there was nothing that fell to that boy. He didn't deserve a thing. But he had a greedy eye on all that belonged to the Father. And he took it, and he wasted it in riotous living. What do you take from God and give no returns? Your health? Your strength? Your talents? Your success? Yea, dear friend, God has given to us much. But I wonder what we have done with it all. Not only the greedy eye, but the proud heart that marked this boy. He cried, "Father, give me." And he went into a far country and wasted it in riotous living. And there was a greedy eye, and there was a proud heart. But there was also a careless life. Careless of social customs. Careless of ethical standards. And careless of moral integrity. That's what this boy was careless of. And he went in to feed swine in a field. And he fed himself upon the husks that the swine do eat. And there we see him, the greedy eye, the proud heart, the careless life, until it became a lonely place. How many hired servants of my Father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? There was nothing in those husks to feed that hungry soul. And you and I live in a hungry world. But let me say, there's nothing in the pleasures of the world or the sins of the world that meet the deeper yearnings of the soul. Nothing that meets the longings of the human spirit. Only in thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace that the world, though all combine, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth, so seemingly sweet, feel at the last my longings to meet. Only in thee my bliss is complete. Only, dear Lord, in thee. Know what this boy experienced. He experienced the binding power of sin. That was the first thing. The binding power of sin. Evil habits had gripped him. And sin had bound him as a slave. Our world speaks of liberty. It speaks, dear friend, of freedoms. But their freedoms are but the slavery of sin. Here is a boy that experienced the binding power of sin. And you look at our world, And you see what binds men and women and boys and girls in our world as the slaves of Satan, the binding power of sin. Oh, the evil habits that bind souls until they are afraid of even confessing Christ in case the bonds will not be broken. But let me say, dear friend, if you will trust our Savior, He breaks the power of canceled sin and set the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for thee. But not only was there the binding power of sin, there was the blinding force of sin. A boy that was blind to the better things of life, blind to the purer things of life, and blind to the fact that he was starving amid the husks that the swine did eat. Oh, the blindness of sin, blinding to the facts of life, the realities of life and death and eternity to come. The blinding force of sin. But not only so, we read, dear friend, of the multiplying power of sin. One sin leading to another sin until there is an accumulation of what is vile and what is bad and what is destructive to human life. And not only so, but we see this boy starting with discontent. And then we see the hardening effects of sin. Content as long as money held out, and only when he came to himself did he realize his poverty, his nakedness, his degradation. And yet, dear friend, it was just then that God had mercy on the soul. And I want you to note how the Father dealt with him. And there are four things here. There's the Father's love. Love the unlovable. Love that which was down and out. Yea, the Father loved him because he knew that that boy had a soul that would survive the shock of death and go right in to the great eternity of God and would either soar from glory to glory in heaven or plunge from depth to depth in hell. That's why the Father loved him, because he valued him. And God values you tonight, every one of you. He has put a value upon you, and he loves you because you're a creature that is made for all eternity. And not only do we see the Father's love, but we see the Father's hurry. He ran to that boy. And there's not a note of repentance in the heart of a sinner, but what will bring God in a hurry to that soul? Are you troubled tonight? Do you feel the burden, the load of your sin? Do you feel your need of a Savior tonight? And dear friend, if you're honest about it, God will be in a hurry. He'll be at your side in no time. And perhaps that even now, the Savior is knocking for admittance to that heart for which he died. God is in a hurry. You don't need to wait until tomorrow. You don't need to wait until next week. Right in your seat at this very moment, if you will trust our Savior, if you will believe that He died and rose again for you, if you will trust Him, God's word for it, thou shalt never perish, but have everlasting life. And I see the Father's vision. He saw Him afar off. Afar off. When God speaks of a sinner as ungodly, He means that sinner is afar off. When God speaks of sinners as enemies, He means that they are afar off. Oh, what a distance between the soul and God. But what a God we have. God's eye can see you at a distance, and He knows all about you, and He wants to wash that soul of yours in the blood of His own Son, and He'll wash you whiter than the snow, and He'll make you fit for heaven. And then we see the kiss of pardon. That's what it means, dear friend. It's the kiss of forgiveness. The prodigal had cried, "I have sinned." And no sooner did he acknowledge his sin than the kiss of pardon was placed upon him. It's waiting for you tonight. Oh, I know you're lost. You know you're lost. And you know that you need a Savior tonight. But let me tell you, our Savior came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I hope that tonight, that kiss of pardon will be placed upon you. And as soon as you're all ye venture on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit enters and you are born of God. Will you come to the Savior? Make no delay. Here in His word He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today. Will you, my sinner, come? May God help you to trust our Savior. And though lost to safety, lost to usefulness, lost to fellowship, you will be found tonight. And there will be joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Will you be that one? May God help you to be so, for His name's sake.